So, Paul has a job for Titus to do. And in Titus chapter 1, Paul says, I left you in Crete for a reason, Titus. I left you in Crete for a reason, that you would set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city. That didn't sound like that was set in order, did it? Okay. I'm 0 for 2 on doing that. See, I told you we needed a new building. Set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city as I directed you. This is similar to or echoed with what happened in Acts chapter 14. In Acts chapter 14, the apostles are coming back through the cities where they established congregations. And they're coming back through the cities where they established congregations. And in verse 22 of Acts 14, they're strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying, through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. When they had appointed elders for them in every church, having prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Let's go back to Titus and stay there for a minute. In every church, in every city, they put in elders. And we look at that today and find that to be really remarkable. Because we have so many congregations, when we look at what he just said an elder is to be like, we have so many congregations that do not have elders, because as they look at the list, it's just a few years we might, but right now we don't have men. We don't have men that fit what this description is just yet, but maybe we. So how do you do that in every city? How do you do that in every church? Especially since in Acts chapter 14, it really couldn't have been that long a period of time from when they had come through to establish the congregations in those cities. A year to two at the most? I don't know. It couldn't have been that long a period of time between one and the other. Between the bringing of the gospel into this city and the establishment of elders in every church. Now, today we won't go through the list described there in Titus. We're not going to go item by item and discuss that as qualifications for an elder. Instead, we're going to back up and talk about what it means that God put elders in and why he would do that. What does it mean that he wants us to have elders locally? And how do we do that? My answer to how do you appoint elders in every city and how did they in such a short period of time have elders in every congregation? My answer is, I don't know. I don't know. I don't think it's an appropriate thing to say, well, this description isn't significant, so we're going to set aside parts of it. Because it's more important that I don't think that's the right answer. It could have been a providence of God act. It could have been a structure of the Jewish culture that had men already of character and of strength, but not all those towns had, even though he started teaching in the synagogues of every town he went to, not all of them were just Jewish congregations. So, not exactly sure how they did that. We don't want to approach this list, the description of an elder, as a checklist anyway. You write down the items and you check, 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 check. Ta-da! You've got an elder. It's not quite the way it's described. It's more a description or a sketch or a portrait of what that man looks like. Not that any one of those things is unimportant. Not that anyone can be set aside, but in fact, the opposite. In fact, it is more than that that God is looking for in an elder. So not only do you have this nearly impossible list, and I say nearly impossible because the first time CB and I sat down as elders and looked at each other in an elders meeting, CB and I having a cup of coffee together, and we looked at each other, and when we went back through this, the very first description, if any man is above reproach, any man here above reproach? Me neither. Actually, none of you guys jumped up. I figured if you had jumped up, that you'd have been reproached for that, so you wouldn't have been above reproach. So maybe there's a man here who's above reproach, and he just humbly kept seated, as he should have. So I jumped to a conclusion. I apologize. Thank you for that. Me neither. Oh, me neither. I'm not above reproach. So not only is this a tough standard by which to walk, that's why we say it's not a black and white checklist. We'll get into in another lesson sometime what above reproach specifically means, and the parallel of the parallel, but different Greek word in 1 Timothy 3:2. An overseer then must be above reproach. Those are different Greek words, by the way. You can look them up between now and that lesson as a side issue. But not only is this a very tough and a strong standard by describing men that God wants to lead his people, it's even tougher than that. It's even higher than that. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Therefore I exhort the elders among you, verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Therefore I exalt the elders. I got to be able to speak. Therefore I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the suffering of Christ and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted in your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. We see in this description a group of men who walk as examples, who walk as examples of humility, who walk as examples of service, who walk as examples of patience, who walk as volunteers. It's interesting, it throws not under compulsion. Nobody's forced into being an elder. We had a strong exhortation at the men's retreat. The man teaching us said, out of 1 Timothy 3, verse 1, if any man aspires to the office of an overseer, and he said, lots of men will say, see, I don't aspire to the office, therefore I'm not qualified, therefore leave me alone, I don't want to be an elder. And his rebuke was, men, we need you. Don't back up and in convenience and say, well, I don't want the job, so therefore I don't qualify and you can't make me. And he said, besides the fact we need men stronger than that, but we need men. Stand up and be a man. Stand up and take the courageous step of saying, if you want me, if somebody needs me, and if by any stretch of any, you know, that somebody would think that I fit any kind of this description, if you want me to serve, I'll serve. Not the convenience of backing away. But it's not a compulsion. It's not a forced position. And neither is it one, that in which the payment given is any part of the motivation. This also warns not for sordid gain, which would connect to other New Testament scriptures that said at times they gave their elders a support salary. They supported these men who didn't have time to have other incomes or other careers as they were shepherding the flock, so that that they got financial support. So it's not for any financial connection. It's not for any connection of power or control, not lording it over them. It's a position of humility. It's a position of voluntary service. It's a position in which your life is to be an example. Your walk is to be an example to the entire congregation. Now, three words come up in this, in 1 Peter chapter 5, that I want to make a connection with you on in case there's any head-scratching going here. The word elder is mentioned in verse 5. The word, First Peter chapter 5, verse 1. The word shepherd in verse 2, and the word oversight, it's from the word overseer, one who oversees, in verse at the end of verse 2, elder, shepherd, and overseer are the three synonyms for the position of an elder. We usually say elders just out of convenience, although shepherd is often used. So these are synonyms for what 1 Timothy chapter 3 says, if any man aspires to the office of an overseer. That is identical to an elder. That is the same thing as the shepherd. And in fact, in those verses, other words come into mind. But it's in Acts 20 is the other place that uses all three words interchangeably in one place. So we know in two different pieces of Scripture, all three words, elder, shepherd, and overseer, are used interchangeably. They all mean the same person. They're not talking about different positions or different responsibilities. So how God very deliberately wants shepherds in his church. He wants men who watch over and take the position of overseeing what's going on. It's a protecting position. It's a coordinating position. It's a teaching position. It's a caring position. It's a serving, feeding, and a loving position. It's one of heavy and weighty responsibility. And it's a scary position from both directions. There are many congregations around the world that haven't chosen elders, even though they have qualified men amongst them, who haven't chosen elders because they're nervous about it. Oh, good grief. What if, and would they be, and what if they have this, like this kind of a man, and what if they're strong arm types, or what if they're mealy and weak and won't make a decision? What if? Doesn't God realize how hard this is? God realizes. But that doesn't change the fact that he wants shepherds. There's a scripture that CB and Dave and I will read to each other, and every time we read it, we say we should read this every week when we come together. We don't read it every week. We don't even read it every quarter, but we do read it a couple of times a year together. It's Ezekiel chapter 34. And you'll find out quickly why we don't read it every week. But we still think we might need to. God understands full well the importance of having good shepherds, and he understands full well the danger of having poor shepherds. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to those shepherds, Thus says the Lord, Woe, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? Yet you eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat sheep without feeding the flock. Those who are sickly you have not strengthened, the diseased you have not healed, the broken you have not bound up, the scattered you have not brought back, nor have you sought for the lost. But with force and with severity you have dominated them. They were scattered for lack of a shepherd, and they became food for every beast of the field and were scattered. My flock wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. My flock was scattered over all the surface of the earth, and there was no one to search or seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my flock has become prey, my flock has even become food for all the beasts of the field for a lack of a shepherd. And my shepherds did not search for my flock, but rather the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will demand my sheep from them and make them cease from feeding sheep so that the shepherds will not feed themselves anymore. But I will deliver my flock from their mouth so that they will not be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd cares for his herd on the day when he is among the scattered sheep, so I will care for my sheep and will deliver them from all the places to which they were scattered on a cloudy and gloomy day. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and bring them to their own land, and I will feed them on the mountain of Israel by streams and all the inhabited places of the land. I will feed them in a good pasture, and their grazing ground will be on the mountain heights of Israel. There they will lie down in good grazing ground and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock and lead them to rest, declares the Lord. I will seek the lost, bring back the scattered, bind up the broken and strengthen the sick. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with judgment. You can see why we don't read it quite every week. A terrifying rebuke to men put in responsibility to care for, to protect, to heal the sick, to go after the hurting, to find the lost, to bind up the broken. But the men are so convenient, built into their own convenience of life. They so love their own schedules. They so love their own meals. They so love their own benefits from the position. They're clothed and they're fed and they're fat and they're satisfied, even though the sheep are torn up and hurting. God knows full well how scary and how dangerous it is to be led, to be cared for by poor shepherds. God understands exactly the problem of having poor men in the position of being shepherds. So you would think after this kind of rebuke, you would think after the failure of Israel, that God would say, no more, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm going to build a different structure. In fact, he built an entirely different structure, for we are all in Christ. Maybe that accounts for it. But, dear God, you put shepherds back in charge. He brought his people into the body of his son. He made us his own son. He adopted us as children into this family. And he still put shepherds over us. And not only that, they went and appointed shepherds in every city, in every church. At least in those two instances. How long does it take? How much time? What kind of maturity? What exactly do all of those descriptions mean? I can't answer all of those questions, but I can answer that this is what God has willed for his people, that there be shepherds, that they be elders, and that they have oversight over the body, and that they take that very, 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 very seriously. I mentioned Acts 20. Let's turn there, and we'll wrap up today's lesson in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Verse 17, from Miletus, he, that's Paul, he sent to Ephesus and called to him the elders of the church. And in verse 28, he got into their own responsibilities. So let's jump to verse 28. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. Therefore, be on the alert. And now I commend you to God, to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are scattered, who are sanctified. This shepherding, the whole description of shepherding, connects to the caring, the nurturing, the sacrificial perspective of being an elder. You know, I've told a couple of stories. We had pigs this summer. We had pigs at our house this summer. And one day, I can't remember which event it was, but one of the days we looked out the window and the pig pen was empty. And there were no pigs. They were big ones by that time. I mean, they were big critters by that time. And there's no pigs in the yard, and there's no pigs in the... And we went, oh, no. You know, thinking of which neighbor they're ravaging the garden of. So, Adam, get on your bike, fly down the street. Isaac, I'm going to get the car. Isaac, you go the other direction. If either of you hear, you know, fly back and, you know, I'll get the cage and throw it in the truck. Honey, we got... Anyway, we had sticks to get them, ropes to get them, cage. Anyway, it turned out that a very nice lady across the way was at that moment herding them back up the street in our direction. No disaster. But we were flying out the door to find, they're not sheep. It's not as romantic as sheep. I'm sorry, but that's all I had. It's not sheep. And I told this story to Lauren this summer. And he said, that is the attitude of a shepherd. The moment you realize you're losing one of yours, you fly to get them. You hurry to find them. You don't wait. You don't sit back and say, oh, it'll work out. In your own comfort and in your own fatness, the rebuke here is strong. You're to protect the flock. There are savage wolves looking to rip people's lives apart. And yet God still asks us to have shepherds. Maybe that's exactly why. Maybe that's exactly why. And would that we could find men. The three of us look at each other and say, as CP often does, we got feet of clay. Boy, do we have feet of clay. We have every failure you could possibly list. The shepherds that God describes here love God. They love Christ. They love his word. They love the sheep. And they love the lost. These are men who sacrifice themselves and throw themselves in between the wolves and the sheep. You see, that's an impossible level to live up to. And you go, how can you possibly? In fact, you three guys need to step down because you don't even get close to that kind of a standard. But they went to every city and every church in these two stories and they appointed elders. Let's pray for this. We need to pray for this selection. We need to take God's will in this selection. knowing that every man we could possibly pick will have flaws in his life. Not that he won't meet that description. Not that he won't match that standard in a good and a godly and a strong way. But it's the Holy Spirit that appoints elders. It's the Holy Spirit that puts elders into their position. So Paul said in Acts 20. So let us go to God in prayer and let his Spirit prick us, lead us, and show us the who and the what and the when of having elders in this congregation. Thank you so much for your love and attention in everything, but this morning, your kindness in paying attention to this lesson. If there's any here who have any needs that they wish to bring before the congregation, whether they're somebody else ready to come to Christ, we've had a few baptisms recently, and it's been very exciting with Riley's last weekend. But if you have any other need that you can bring forward and let us know about, we can pray for or study with you. Please come while we stand and sing the song that Bruce has selected.